Welcome to Money Talk. This podcast offers insight into personal finance concepts and issues with Dr. Barbara O'Neill, Distinguished Professor Emerita of Rutgers University. I'm Molly Herndon, Program Coordinator for the Military Families Learning Network's Personal Finance Team. Thanks for joining us today. All right, we're going to be talking about COVID-19 and how it's impacting people's finances. So good morning, Barbara. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Molly.
Good. So how do you think people are feeling right now?
Well, I think it's kind of a combination of confusion and resiliency. And so I think there is some evidence of positive responses as well as some of the negatives. Obviously, there's a lot of negatives. We have a pandemic going on, which is driving all this. The economy has become very fragile. We've got the stock market now in bear territory, rising unemployment, schools and universities that are closing down and trying to patch together online courses pretty much on the fly. And of course, companies, just think about the losses that we're facing, the hotels and airlines and just so many companies. And of course, governments are just struggling with what's going to be larger deficits. So I think on the surface, it can almost seem like everything is going south really quickly. And in many ways it is, but I think we're also seeing so many places where people are showing their resiliency, whether it's that group that got all the students who couldn't perform in their plays to sing out the songs that they would have sung if they were performing. Mm-hmm. Or just this morning, I saw a group that sung together, and everybody sung a different part of the song, and they were all on some kind of video conferencing platform. So I think, you know, there is a lot of evidence of resiliency, philanthropy, people helping out each other. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a mixed bag of a lot of negatives, but also a lot of offsetting positives as well.
Right. So what is the underlying cause of this stress people are feeling?
Well, I think for everybody, it's kind of a feeling of being out of control. And we're seeing that certainly with the stock market and all the uncertainty. Nobody really knows how many people are going to be affected, how long it's going to take. And we know from research that when people feel out of control, it makes them very unhappy, and it really stresses us out. And a good example of that is commuting. It's always ranked on surveys as one of the top things that stress people out. And a lot of it is because of the uncertainty. You don't know whether there's a traffic snarl, whether there's been an accident, or they closed a road, and then you've got snowstorms, and people just don't know what they're dealing with, so they kind of start to freak out. So I think we're seeing that in a lot of places. And then of course, people are also feeling that they're losing control just because, you know, their work patterns have shifted, children are home from school. There's just so many things that are upsetting our normal routines.
Mm-hmm. So in these uncertain times, what can people do to take control or to feel in control?
Well, I think we just need to figure out what we can control, because we're not powerless. It may feel that way, but I believe that when things are out of control in a person's life, you need to fight back and control what you can. And anybody who's gone through a cancer experience, as I did about 20 years ago, knows that firsthand, that, you know, you're feeling like, oh, this disease, I've got it, it's terrible. And it is, but you can control certain things. Even if it's something simple, like the fact that you can control the timing of your chemo treatment, And it can be little things. I heard the Surgeon General this morning on GMA, and I wrote down his quote because I thought it was pretty profound. He said, "Little things that you do add up to big changes over time." And that's really what we're in now, is people making some small adjustments and maybe some big ones too, but things that will benefit all of us in the long term.
So what are some applicable steps that folks can take to make some changes?
Well, I think the first one is we've got to listen to the CDC advice. So just following all the guidance that we're hearing every day. I mean, it's on every television show. So we're going to be hearing advice. There's websites out there. Basically, they're just telling us over and over again to keep washing your hands at least 20 seconds. Try to dry off your hands, you know, kind of on a paper towel, and avoiding the large crowd, staying home as much as possible. All of those things are really important. I think what really got my attention last night as I was scrolling through my Twitter feed, and there was a photograph of two healthcare workers that were all dressed up in their personal protective gear, and each of them was holding a sign. Yes. And the one sign from the one person said, "I stayed at work for you," and the other one said, "You stay at home for us." Mm-hmm. And I thought, boy, that's really profound. Those people on the front lines just telling us to do our part, because obviously they're doing a lot for us. Mm-hmm. So I think that's one thing. Then we got to look at the finances, Molly. I mean, that's key as well. And just updating, or maybe you've never even had a budget, but just putting down on paper your best estimate of what your changes in income and expenses are going to be for the next few months. Give it the best shot you can. Maybe nobody knows for sure, but you know, if your job hours are going to be cut, you can figure out what the income loss would be, your expenses. Maybe you'll actually see a little bit of savings. If your kids are home, you won't need childcare necessarily. So there may be some expenses that will end that can free up money to offset new expenses that will be starting, and also the loss of income. I mean, some families had to go out and buy new laptops, you know, just because the kids now are trying to do everything virtually, and it's kind of hard to have three siblings share one laptop. So there may be some one-time expenses that families have incurred, and then also some ongoing expenses as well.
How do you think this crisis might be affecting military families in particular?
Well, I think with military families, there's obviously the service member will have their paycheck. So you've got that base of income for sure. If there's a spouse involved, the spouse may or may not be seeing a cut in hours or a complete loss of pay. So obviously there's some income effects as well. And then, of course, the kids are going to be home. So there's likely to be some extra food expenses, extra utilities, you know, pretty extra anything, because you've got other family members that are going to be home for a longer period of time. So that's going to affect them as well. And like many other parents, military parents are probably going to end up de facto homeschooling in some regard, you know, helping students with their virtual assignments that they'll be getting. And the one thing that also military families have going for them that's really important is the support services at their installation. So I would certainly take advantage of those, whether it's the personal financial management counselors, the PFMs that are involved, or the commissaries, any of the other support services that are there in so-called normal times. But certainly now, when we're under this pandemic alert, will be of use to them.
That's great. I know that Military OneSource is doing some virtual counseling and some on over the phone services right now that I saw on their website. So that's good for folks to keep in mind too.
Absolutely.
Well, great. Well, is there anything else that you think that folks should be considering right now that maybe they haven't thought about?
Well, I think practicing healthy behaviors is really important. I mean, this is important all the time, but particularly now when people are under stress and our immune systems are being impacted, we want to do all we can to practice healthy behaviors for two reasons. We want to build up our immunity, but we also don't want to have any health issues affecting us in the middle of a healthcare crisis. Mm-hmm. So eating nutritious food, trying to get adequate sleep, physical activity is so important. I mean, pretty much CDC advice is saying, you know, stay home unless you have to go food shopping or see a doctor, but get out and exercise, or exercise indoors if your weather is still bad. But try to create some kind of new workout routine if you can, because exercise improves people's mood. It helps burn calories if you're sitting around, and it also helps to boost your immune system. So that's important. You'll also want to just keep an alert up for resources in your community, new policies at local supermarkets. Try to be early for things as all possible, because you know there are going to be scarce resources. Many of the supermarkets now are closing early so they can disinfect and restock for a longer period of time overnight. So you want to be there early in the morning to get the best, you know, availability of products that you need, because otherwise they could be out of stock. If you normally shop in the afternoon, you may want to time shift to the morning to take advantage of the stock, because so many things are being snapped up pretty quickly, particularly convenience foods and, of course, toilet paper and sanitizers and those sorts of things. So being early will be important. Just seeking out resources in your community, food pantries, utility assistance, unemployment benefits for some families, even thrift shops if they're open, although a number of them have closed already, but those that are open might be useful to purchase some things that you might need. So that's important. And then I guess there's two other things I would suggest to people, Molly, is there's probably going to be a lot of leniency right now on a number of things, whether it's income tax filing, we've already heard about that, interest rates on loans, utility payment deadlines, school grading. I mean, who knows how kids are going to get graded on their assignments and take tests. I mean, we are in uncharted waters. But one thing we do know from all sorts of crises in the past, whether we go back to 9/11 or some of the major weather issues that we've had, is that there usually is leniency and slack. I can remember that from Superstorm Sandy in New Jersey. I mean, we cut students all kinds of breaks at Rutgers, you know, deadlines for papers, and you just kind of roll with it. And so take advantage of that leniency, because that can be a lifeline for some people. If they think a bill has to be paid, maybe they can be a little bit late with that bill without any penalty in order to keep that money to buy food and put food on the table. So looking out for those things. And then finally, the last thing, I think the last week has shown us that we need to create new routines. And I think a lot of people have talked about feeling adrift or unmoored from their normal schedules, whether it's their work schedule, their school schedule, activities that they've normally done for themselves. So I think trying to put some structure into your day would be really important. So times that children will be working on their assignments with their teachers, if they're doing something synchronously, or maybe it's all asynchronous, just doing things whenever they can. But having a time set aside for work and school versus maybe getting outside, taking that walk. It's also a great time to work on things that have been on your to-do list forever.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, downsizing, cleaning out closets, cleaning up your financial files, you know, shredding old documents that you don't need. I mean, it can be a wonderful time to do that. So maybe you want to make yourself a task list and then structure in some time every day to tick off tasks. Some of the efficiency experts talk about 10 minutes a day. If you just want to take a task and do 10 minutes, and then if you decide you want to keep going, then do another 10 minutes, but you schedule small increments so you don't feel overwhelmed, and then all of a sudden you've made some really good progress.
Right.
So having that extra time might be a good time to think about doing that.
And that helps folks feel like they're in control too when they have that sense of accomplishment. So that's great.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening today. Subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts or on Stitcher. Visit MilitaryFamiliesLearningNetwork.org to RSVP for upcoming webinars, watch recorded webinars, and read blog posts for military service providers. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube.